Looking to get into sports betting? Well, look no further than HedgeBetter. Traditional sports is rigged anyway. Here at HedgeBetter, we're working hard to create and develop the platform that revolutionizes the future of how we as a nation view sports betting. Traditional sports betting is designed to favor books and lose you money. HedgeBetter puts the odds in your hands, cuts out the middleman, and aims to empower a future generation of sports bettors. At HedgeBetter, your bet is an asset, and we give you all the tools to maximize your profits and potential. We can't wait to come to your state soon and help you make the most of your sports betting experience. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website at www.hedgebetter.com to learn more and sign up for our mailing list. To stay up to date with all of our content, podcasts, including Steel and Naz, promotion, and events, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and click on the link on our website to check out our blog. Everyone's even on Monday. Let's have a day.
Yep. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Woo! Welcome to Steel and Naz, brought to you by HedgeBetter from our headquarters in Braintree, Massachusetts. Episode 70, past the 69 now. Tonight, we have a very big guest as Andover native, Brown University quarterback, and NFL draft prospect, EJ Perry joins the show. Fresh off the NFL Combine, picking up trash like you read about. Not throwing trash, throwing darts, baby. Throwing darts.
Yep.
We talk about kind of his journey as, you know, he transferred from BC to Brown. Really, you know, showed a lot of promise as a dual threat quarterback. Met a lot of people over at the Combine there. Has really stepped on the scene. Yeah, it's impressive. It's going to be fun to watch his journey as he gets ready for the NFL draft here. You get a bunch of new fans afterwards. Afterwards, March Madness is here. We talked about that a little bit. Major League Baseball's back. Jason Tatum has shown his unbelievable
MVP.
The streets are hot. The NFL free agency and trading's hot. Everything's hot. Even Craig Hines' hairdo's going
the
on.
The live show is hot. The ladies that showed up were hot.
The balls are buzzing. We're on a rocket ship to the moon. Jump on.
We're heading to the moon. The Kurt Warner movie was hot, you said.
Yeah, the North Quincy basketball teams are hot. We're everywhere tonight, baby. We're everywhere.
We're excited to be back here.
Tune in. Going to be a great episode.
Yeah, we're going to throw it on to EJ Perry. Hey, guys, hell of an interview. We kind of already hyped him up as it is. Hope he's Mac Jones is back up next year. That'd be great to see. But honestly, want to see him go play like someplace warm. Wherever he wants. He said, this doesn't worry about the cold. No, go have him go play someplace
warm. Maybe Tampa.
Respectfully.
Respectfully, he has a preference. We'll never know what it is, but
before we spin, yeah,
what's your guesses?
I'd love to see him get on a team where like every quarterback gets hurt and he gets like an opportunity and he just doesn't look back.
Sentiment.
I want to see him go to Denver right behind Russell Westbrook and then take his spot.
Wilson. Yeah.
Wilson, sorry.
Westbrook.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, he doesn't like that.
Yeah. We're going to now spin it to former Brown University quarterback and NFL draft prospect, EJ Perry. We now welcome on Brown University quarterback and Andover, Mass native, EJ Perry, has dove on the scene with the East-West Shrine Game and the NFL Combine. So we'll just get right underway with it. You know, as a small school player from, you know, Brown University, I know you went to BC for a little bit, but how was the NFL Combine over the last weekend?
It was awesome. It was a great experience. You know, it's a basically a 4-day thing versus they do medical, different testing, blood work, and then you go into interviews, and then it's the on-field drills that you see on TV. And it was an awesome opportunity, and felt good about it.
Did it feel weird having those drills? Because like they're things you probably do all the time, but like with it having so much impact and like on TV and stuff like that, was that in the back of your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously interesting because, you know, this was actually the first year they had fans. So being out there, you know, the fans are cheering after each 40 and every ball you throw. So that was kind of, it was honestly pretty cool. You know, none of the television aspect of it, you don't really notice it or feel it because you're kind of just locked into what you have to do in terms of getting in your stance and focusing on the techniques and drills that you've been training for the last 8 weeks. So that doesn't really play into it, but yeah, it's a little bit, from an athlete aspect, you know, you never really, I mean, I guess there's certain times at like summer camps and stuff like that growing up for football. And, but you're never really like having this much of an emphasis on like running a drill. You know, it's always just like a tool to get better. And, you know, the emphasis is more so on technique and playing the game. So that's an interesting aspect that, you know, for the last 8 weeks, you know, I'm spending a large portion of time, you know, lifting and doing work to get better at the sport, but then also, you know, 2 hours a day working on techniques for shuttles and 40s and verticals. So it was new and it was different, but yeah, I was happy and it was an awesome opportunity.
Now, was there anything like bizarre that you didn't expect coming and it just came to you right away? You're like, I'm going to this combine, probably going to get asked questions by these scouts or like have to do these drills. Is there anything that just caught you off guard and was just like, wow, I did not know that was going to occur? Anything like that?
During the interviews, they ask you some questions that at times catch you off guard or you have to think about. But for the most part, you know, it's football. It's guys, you know, who are talking football and everything revolving around football. So you've done it since you were a young kid, and it comes pretty naturally for everyone there.
And I got to ask about the whole viral video there of you picking up trash. Like, what was in your head when you saw that on, you know, social media? And I think you're just picking up trash to be a good guy there, but was there anything more to the puzzle?
Well, it's funny because, like, typical me and my friends, like, the texts I get are, like, all the comments, not the actual video. So I was you know, all the funny replies to it, as the internet does. So that was funny. We got a laugh out of it. You know, people, you know, make a good bit out of it. But no, I mean, it was one of those things that we sit at these benches and, like, you know, I was picking up my trash and there's bottles next to me and, like, I'm not going to step over them. Like, I just picked up it's literally on my way out. So it wasn't a huge deal. I mean, it was just, you know, something that, you know, it took me 2 minutes to do. And you know, it got blown out of proportion. Now it's, like you said, you know, I have to ask about it. So, like, everyone's asking about it. So
I mean, it just happened to be a camera rolling, you know?
When you said it was a viral trash video, there was a video of a dude who was, like, humming trash bags into the back of a dump truck. I thought that's what at first. I was like,
picking up trash.
That was the
And honestly, from that two-part question, what was the best meme, like, reply comment out of that?
I know that.
And then
there's some really good ones. There's one that my brother was showing me where the guy played it in reverse and he's like, watch this quarterback ruin his draft stock. And he's like, it looks like I'm picking the trash out and throwing it on.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. That's hilarious. The internet's undefeated.
That was a good one. Sure.
But yeah, and second part to that is also, like, I was going to say that adds to your draft stock because that's the little stuff that, like, makes a quarterback what you want in a leader. You want those good leadership positional roles, like, that have good morals and good idealism.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that, like, I think, you know, many people would have done. Like, if you were in the same situation, you're the last to leave the podcast room and you see, you know, High Noon cans like you got out there. You toss them in the trash as you walk out.
They're definitely not doing that.
I'm going to watch who does it tonight.
And guess what? I'm not going viral when I do that.
I was about to say, there are so many people
not even getting it.
I might throw up a highlight video tonight. If yours went viral, I might just leave the cameras rolling for a little bit.
That was another one. We were playing pickup basketball like two or three nights ago. I picked up my water bottle and threw it in the trash. And someone, like, fake videoed me and was like, EJ Perry spotted in local gym picking up trash. Like, so it's swirled into something that become a little bit of a running joke in my
opinion. Get a good laugh. It's got the potential for it. That'd be great stuff. Another question of mine. So, you know, since your post Brown quarterback days, which has been short the past couple of months, you had the East-West Shrine week. Just tell me what kind of went into that. What was your game plan there? And you came out throwing three touchdown passes and win the offensive MVP. Well, there's Power 5 guys there. There's other guys, you know, who are at, what I say, more of FCS places. And then you're coming out of the woodwork here from Brown University, you know, putting on a show and putting Rhode Island on the map.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. Mr. Galco put on an unbelievable event. He's the director of the game. Yep. And it's like football heaven. You walk in and you get handed a playbook and there's, like you said, 119 or whatever it is, other really talented football players that you get to learn this playbook, and all your coaches are NFL coaches, so you get to learn from them. And then you're interviewing at night with NFL scouts. So it's one thing to the next, and it's all revolving around football. And the really awesome part for like a player is like, you then go out and practice and you get to like throw the ball in a game situation, run skelly periods and team periods, inside run. So it was really fun. I loved it. It was awesome. And then, you know, going in, thought process is just like, hey, it's football. You know, I'm getting a play call in my ear. Let's execute it. And, you know, there's a lot of good players on that field. So, you know, it's 200 and whatever yards that, you know, a lot were run by not me. So, you know, it was a lot of good plays. I mean, Samori Torrey, I think he had two of those touchdown grabs, and Pierre Strong, who ran the fastest 40 for a running back. Wow. With Isaiah Pacheco, who were both on my team.
You're not too far behind either. You're in a 4.6. That's unbelievable. That's great stuff.
Yeah. I was happy with that. But, yeah, so they ran the two fastest for running backs, and they were both on my team. So, you know, we had a lot of talent, and it was really fun to just, you know, deliver the ball to those guys.
Did you have the lineman on your team that had the fastest running 42?
He might have been.
Oh, I didn't know that. That might be true.
Someone,
I'm not
someone,
sure.
Someone broke the record, I believe, this year for fastest lineman.
I think he's from Georgia.
He had like a 4.
Yeah.
4.
He might, because there's another one of those games, right? It's like the Senior Bowl.
Senior Bowl.
So he might have been in that one.
Okay.
Yeah. The kid from Georgia who ran like the 4.78, the D lineman.
Yeah.
I think he was at the Senior Bowl, but he's that was pretty impressive to watch. I'll have to be doing some more speed drills.
Yeah,
to
he must
those.
Be a tank in person.
Yeah, I was about to say, are those guys as scary as they look on TV? Everyone at Georgia looked horrifying.
They're all impressive. You know, they spend a great deal of time in the weight room and, you know, doing everything they can to hunt guys like me. So, it was cool to be around all those guys.
Yeah, got to be quick, right?
More of a football question here in that, like, East-West Shrine game. I've seen you play, like you're throwing and running. You're one of those dual threat guys. You kind of got away from running just to throw the ball more. Was that kind of going into it? Like, okay, these scouts don't really want to see me run against the defense that's playing in one of these games. I want to show them kind of my throwing ways, or were you just kind of like, I'm going to get the job, whatever it takes?
Yeah, it's a limited playbook. So like in our, you know, offense at Brown, we had a number of, you know, more read plays for me and, at this game, you know, it's one of those things that instead of, you know, 200 plays, you have 40. And it just kind of happened that way. You know, it's going to be kind of a thing, you know, at the next level, I'm going to have to use my legs more to create opportunities to throw the ball than run the ball. So, yeah, that aspect is intentional.
Nice. And do you guys got anything else before we talk about his career?
I was going to ask how it all started for you, football, like just straight up from the beginning.
When I was young, you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I started when I was real young, just throwing the ball in the backyard. My family, my dad's four brothers all played college, and two of them are coaches, obviously. My uncle, who I played for at Brown, and then my other uncle is down at Sam Houston State now. So, you know, always been around it. And then, you know, getting to play, you know, in the youth league and flag and whatever when I was younger. So that was, you know, kind of the start. And then just growing up, I played for my dad in high school, which was an awesome opportunity.
Is that Andover High?
Yeah. Okay. So he's still the coach there, and love playing for him. And, you know, it was a lot of great memories from then.
Yeah, my question here, which is the thing I've been wanting to know all night, is you go into BC, I think your first year or two, and, you know, you battled through a lot of adversity. You had other guys in the quarterback depth chart, and then you make the decision to go to Brown. First of all, you have to have some smarts to go to Brown and BC, but Brown's an Ivy League school. What kind of, you know, convinced you to go over there, and, you know, it ended up working out?
Yeah, it was, you know, I had FBS offers and FCS, but the issue with the FBS is I would have had to sit out a year. And, you know, I was transferring to play from the beginning, so I didn't want to sit out. That wasn't really, I wasn't too fond of that rule. So I decided to look at more at the FCS route.
And, okay.
Yeah. Looked at a number of different schools and thought Brown was an unbelievable opportunity. And then, you know, to play for my uncle wasn't, you know, a thing that, you know, would have been really cool and was awesome. So it was kind of became a no-brainer. I looked at a bunch of different options, but you know, it was pretty easy to make that decision and pull that trigger.
Yeah, what were your best times in Brown? Like what games you're gonna remember the most? You know, there's so much competition there. Harvard's always good. Traveling up to Dartmouth's pretty good team. I'm trying to think of other ones like Cornell or Princeton. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Princeton and Harvard, they split this year, and the previous year was Dartmouth and Yale. So, yeah, I mean, it was 2019. It was really cool. The Columbia game, going in an away game and winning there, and kind of just having everything click for the team, defense, special teams, offense, and everyone kind of played a performance. And then coming back this year in a really difficult league, it was cool to get a comeback win against Cornell, and then to play really well against Colgate was awesome as well. So, the biggest thing that I'll remember is, the relationships and friends I have, and just, going out and competing every single day and becoming a better football player. And I hope to carry that and a lot of what I learned with me.
Yeah, even when you go in, in 2019 is your first year at Brown, you end up being first team all Ivy League. Like, how, I know you're a team guy, but how good did that feel knowing that, you didn't get too much playing time over at BC, if that's the case? I think that's the case. So you went over there, you kind of bet on yourself, and you said, I'm going to make the most out of this opportunity, and you full out did.
Yeah, no, it was definitely cool. It was good, but, you go 2-8, you don't have much time, and things like that really motivate me. And I always kind of just solely focused on getting better, kind of diving in with the team and figuring out ways to improve. And for me, that meant looking for ways to manage the game better and improving accuracy and different flaws I had in my game that I saw with coach. And And coming back in 2021, which it ended up being because of COVID, and executing those things. And then, it's going to be really cool to watch Brown this coming year and see the future steps they make. Because, there's a lot of great guys in that locker room, and a lot of great leaders and guys who are going to take huge steps of improvement in these next couple of years.
Was there any individual game while you were at Brown that really stood out? Like, it was like the big one, like probably like the most electric crowd or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, coming back from COVID in this past year, playing Harvard, we had 20-something thousand there. And, the crowds were really just like, you could feel like the hunger of like, we've had no sports in the Ivy League for 2 years, and we get this under the lights Friday night ESPN game, Harvard Brown, and unfortunately we didn't play very well, and they came out and executed at a really high level and ended up going 9-1 and being a really good team. But you're walking out into that, you can feel the tradition in the league, because one of the unique parts about it is it's all regional. So when you play in that game, when I was at BC, you go to Clemson, it's, 90,000 Clemson fans. When you go to Harvard, there's 20, I think it was 26,000 at the game. And it's, 10,000 Brown fans and 10,000 Harvard fans. And I'll probably get made fun of for the math. It's 13.
Yeah, that's way cooler though. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So like,
we're,
it's
not about
every
math here.
When you play. Yeah, when you play in these games, when you go down to Yale, and when you go, they're all 2-3 hour drives. So you get these really cool atmospheres with students, like student sections. Like it feels like a bigger like high school game, in the sense that like, God, this fans are going back and forth, and like, yeah, we make a big play and you hear a big crowd noise, and then they make a big play and you make a big crowd noise, where it's, you hear the traditional, oh, silence the crowd. It's like, no, we have our guys with us. Like, we're going to, feel that, and it's going to bring some juice. So it's a cool environment, and I love playing a part and being a part of it.
Yeah, that's a really cool comparison, just like the whole regional part of, yeah, even though we're playing like in Boston right now, we have people coming up from Rhode Island who are going to make some noise, and I'm sure you got plenty of alumni from around Massachusetts that are going to make the trip to Brown. So that's really fascinating to hear in comparison to, you're going down to Clemson, that 90,000 Clemson guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit off of Brown, unless you guys have anything. So the weekend of April 28th, 2022 comes around and the NFL draft weekend happens, what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, probably just hanging out with my family. I mean, the first couple of days, we might, you know, schedule like a dinner or something with some family members after the draft finishes up, and I kind of know where I'm going and have that in place. But for the actual draft, I'll probably just hang in with some friends and family in my house and chill out. But, you know, once I know where I'm going and that's settled, we might do something. So
what's the stress? Is there any stress on your mind right now? Like,
no, it's just uncertainty. You know, I have a lot. It will, you know, build the uncertainty. But at the moment, I'm just kind of focused on, you know, pro day coming up the 22nd. I have some interviews and meetings prior to that with different teams. So just kind of focus and getting prepared for those different aspects of this process. And then, you know, once pro day wraps up and private workouts and these things, and we get, you know, 10, 12 days away from the draft. And, you know, that's kind of going to be a pretty big build up into it. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I know it's an exciting time and just, you know, it's one of those things when you're, you know, maybe a top guy, first round guy, you have a 4 or 5 teams that you might go to, but being one of those later type guys, you know, it really could be anyone. So it's one of those things that, you know, people ask me, oh, where do you think? It's like, I couldn't tell you.
Where do you want?
No, I know you can't.
Somewhere warm, right? Come on.
Oh, man, Tampa? I love it up here. What's wrong with the cold?
Everything's wrong with the EJ.
Yeah.
He's a Tampa fan.
It snowed 3 inches yesterday. I was trekking in the boots in March. So,
oh, let's go.
Hey, if you're a snow guy, that's fine. Man. That's fine.
Snow games all day. I just think it's really fascinating to probably seeing from your standpoint where in the – if you're talking to a couple teams and they take a quarterback in like the first or second round, you're like, you in the back of your mind, I think, at least me speaking, maybe for you, of being, oh shit, like this team already got a quarterback. Like, I don't know where I'm going to go now. That's kind of like the scenario, I think, there.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be an aspect of, you know, watching and seeing. You know, like I've talked to friends and stuff who have gone through the process, and they've said, you know, oh, you start to get somewhat of a feel, and other guys are like, yeah, I thought I had a feel, and then some team that I had no idea had interest in me drafted me. So there's this whole aspect of, you know, you never really know, and you just kind of, you want to put in the work and just use the time that you have until you know to get better. So
another thing too that I'm kind of wondering is, I know you got the pro day on the 22nd, whatever, so you're not out of the woods yet, but have you looked back? I mean, the East-West Shrine, you know, game, the whole practice there, having a great combine. Have you looked back at that at all and be like, wow, I've really done well for myself, you know, to give myself an opportunity for that draft, you know, draft weekend or an undrafted free agency? Just, I think you, in my opinion, from what I've seen, you've given yourself a hell of an opportunity here.
Yeah, no, I'm pleased with how the events have gone. I've you know, reflected on them as they've come and gone, and thought about ways to, you know, be more prepared for the next event coming forward, or taking things with me from those events and maybe things that I've learned. So, you know, I'm happy with the events that have come. But yeah, it's a lot of focus right now just on being super locked in for pro day and the workouts and interviews to come. So that's my main focus and where my energy's going.
What's like your schedule and getting ready for all this? Like, is it like morning workout then midday workout late night? Like, is it just an all day affair?
Yeah. So when the past 8 weeks I've been in Florida, training for the combine, and yeah, I'd be, you know, wake up at 7 a.m., breakfast, then you'd have a 2-hour workout, then you'd go, you'd have lunch, you'd have a break, then you'd have a speed training, and then you'd have another break, and then you'd have throwing and position work and position drills. You know, since the combine's finished, I'm able to, you know, cut down a little bit on like the actual like technique of how to run a 5-10-5, and, you know, more focus on like, hey, being locked in for the different questions I'll get asked in these interviews and spending a little more time on that. And, you know, right now I'm, you know, working out, you know, getting up around, you know, 6:30, going down, working out from 8 to 11, and then coming back home, studying some and then throwing in the afternoons for leading up to pro day. In between doing different recovery stuff and interview prep. So they always be busy.
It's a busy day.
Yeah, I mean, the way I view it is like you go to your teacher, you go to school, you're working 9 to 5. If you're or 8 to 3 or whatever it is, you're, you know, in working in finance like a lot of my friends are, you're working 9 to 5 and when you're first in there, you're working like 8 to 8. So you know, I have to, you know, approach it like this is my job because I hope it is, you know, in a couple months. So really just trying to build out the schedule so that I can maximize my time and, you know, get as prepared as possible for these different events.
Now, are you throwing anyone in particular, anyone fun, like anyone that you have like past like playing with or teammates?
Yeah, Jacob Prawl is flying in, and he's gonna be training with me for Pro Day. Who's you know, was on my team in 2019, and then I'm throwing with a few guys locally who are gonna be doing my Pro Day. It's all the Pro Day guys. So
nice.
Tenio from Holy Cross, Shampkin from Harvard, Ty Beck, and another running back from Assumption. So it's a good group of guys.
Practice for the real thing. So when the pro day comes around, you guys already got it down.
Exactly. Awesome. And, you know, so we'll run through that and choreograph that and have it down pat for when the day comes.
I was a mean slot guy like 10 years ago. So if you ever need a guy, man, I'll
absolutely. You want to come? You want to catch some balls? Let's do it.
He's going to make you look so bad, man. You don't want to throw a thing to this fucking kid.
Who would win in the Steel and Naz combine? Who would be?
Oh, I would demolish.
I'd absolutely smoke these guys.
Oh, Craig, you'll snap the ball and go home.
Yeah. Put some sleeves on, kid.
We've said we might have to run it. We might have to do it.
Do a combine for 2 years.
You'd be the judge if we set it up.
Yeah, well, we'll figure something out. Yeah, absolutely.
I got everything but the 40.
Oh yeah,
I'll
no hamstrings. We'll do like a 20. We'll do a 20.
20 would be way.
Never
better.
Mind. We're back.
Yeah.
I'm sweeping the board then.
Are you like the hometown hero around Andover? Do you still live in Andover currently? Is it like?
Yeah. I'm back at home right now. I'll be moving into a hotel. I have an interview in Houston down there, so I'll be going down there for a couple of days and then coming back, and I'll be in a hotel in Foxborough just because that's where my...
Is it big, like, hometown hero vibes from you, though, when you're around town, or...?
I mean, people are definitely supportive and rooting for me, and it's fun to see people just, you know, that I've been close with that have helped me, coaches, et cetera. But, yeah, they're rooting for me, but, you know, I've been here all my life and know a lot of these people really well. So it's kind of just like conversing and gotcha. You know, whatnot. It's not
you're
a lot
man of
like,
the people.
Yeah. Back staying with the Andover stuff. I kind of had a question here. So the senior of high school at Andover High, EJ Perry, if he saw where you are currently today with an opportunity at the NFL draft, would he be surprised?
Yeah, that I'm not a first rounder. Yeah.
Oh wow!
Yes,
that's some great.
How bad do you want it, EJ?
It sounds like we would have been friends in high school.
Yeah. Obviously, you probably got to be a Brady guy, but who like inspired your game from? I know Brady's not a dual threat guy like you are, but
what do you mean he has 1,000 career yards?
Yeah. Come on, 22 years.
Raised to 1,000. Yeah, I mean, growing up. You know, you obviously admire Brady incredibly. How can you not? He's done it mentally better than and you know, as a leader and quarterback better than anyone who's ever played the game and probably anyone who's ever played any game. I mean, at this point. So, you know, having that in your backyard, you know, it drives you and motivates you. And you see, you know, not only his success, but, you know, the Patriots and I mean, the Red Sox and Celtics and Bruins,
Boston
you know,
sports, my, yep.
Yeah, my childhood was like blessed with a million championships. So it was really cool. And, you know, all my friends, we'd get together and watch the Stanley Cup or the Super Bowl or whatever. And it was always one of our teams playing in it. So it was much more fun parties and, you know, get together. So that was awesome. But, you know, watching guys, you know, Russell Wilson was always a guy who like, I was like, you know, watching
he's
the ball jump and run and kind of move around to throw the ball. Like I, you know, hope to do and like to do.
See, so you know, he wants to go to Denver.
He just said he wants to go to Denver. What do you think about him going to Denver? You like that move?
It's a crazy trade, right? The league is always moving. Wentz today, and you know all these different things. So
it's exciting. It's exciting stuff.
It makes it even more, it makes it even harder for like me to be like, oh, this team. It's like, you never know who their quarterback's gonna be tomorrow, and you never know. So it's one of those things that things are always changing, and you can never really gather what these teams are thinking in terms of, you know, the draft and things like that. So I kind of just, it makes it easier for me to just, you know, focus on tomorrow and what I need to do, and I'll figure it out, you know, April 31st, I'll know where, or is there a 31st? No, right?
Who knows? Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe this year. Yeah.
Sure.
We'll say May 1st. There's definitely a May 1st. So we'll say May 1st.
There we go.
Control what you can, and whatever else happens.
So you've done a great job tonight, but do you like ever look at the Patriot way and the way Belichick and stuff handles things? Because you are going to have interviews with probably press, and you kind of look at that and be like, oh, I got to develop like more of a professional take of, you know, answering questions, because you're going to be playing for some, you know, high class NFL team that you're going to have to not say the wrong thing. Is there any like stuff that goes into that of, you know, talking to, you know, publicists and things like that?
Yeah, you're always taught, you know, when you buy high school coaches, you know, you represent your town, and what you do as an athlete is going to reflect on your town or your school. And when you get to college, it's even more so, because when an athlete does something poor, they're always going to be published. And, you know, you're one of the ambassadors for the school. And that's the same way as an NFL team. So, you know, growing up, you're very growing up in sports and being a part of sports, and you're very cognizant of that. And, you know, you don't want to do anything to embarrass your college, your high school, and more importantly, your parents, you know, or your family. So it's one of those things you're definitely cognizant of. And, you know, you just want to do, for me, I just want to continue to, you know, say the things that allow me to play football. That's all I want to do. So, you know, if they say I can't say certain things, if they say I can't do certain things, hey, as long as you're going to let me play football, I'm good with it.
I think it took Mac Jones like 2 or 3 weeks before the smile was just off his face and he was giving Belichick quotes. Like, he just did it in no time.
My last question, which I forgot to say around the when we talk about the combine, were there any cameos there that like you met for the first time who were just like celebrities or even athletes there that like you were like, wow, this like Deion Sanders, he wasn't there, but like, oh, it was someone like popular?
Yeah, they at all these NFL events, they have different what they call legends community, and you know, ambassadors to the NFL who have had great careers, and you know, we had a number of them at the East West game. Thomas Davis spoke to us. Darren Waller. And you know, there was a whole bunch with Will Shields and
Waller. That must have been really powerful stuff, because he has a hell of a story too, huh?
Unbelievable story. And great speaker. Thomas Davis has a great story well. And he's an unbelievable speaker as well. And, you know, all these guys, you know, they know how to motivate, you know, being in the locker room and being around the game, and they know how to speak. So it was really cool to hear from them. And then at the combine, it was more of like conversational. So, you know, I met Matt Hasselbeck, who's a local guy, and we connected with Matt, and we got to speak, and, you know, he offered some great advice, and you know, he was in a similar position to me, being, you know, he was in the sixth round, and you know, he turned sixth round into 18 years. So,
Severian guy.
And a Super Bowl appearance and a heck of a career. So, you know, that was really cool. And, you know, I got to talk to Ahmad Tooney a lot, and RG3 I got to meet. So,
nice.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of guys, and the NFL does a great job putting on the combine and these different events. So, it was a cool experience, and just to learn and absorb the different things and advice these guys had. They all have different stories. They all faced adversity, and it was all, you know, for all of them, it was you know, they were facing uphill battle, you know, whether they're, even if they were a first rounder, you know, to go, you know, 10 plus years in the NFL and have a great career is few and far between. So it was cool to hear and how they did it, and, you know, absorb as much as they could.
That sounds all in time. Like, it feels like what you've been going through the last like 2-3 months is like so much in one. It's probably tough to like take in all at once, but you have to do it in order to get to the spot where you want to in between the 28th, 30th weekend there. So, EJ, I want to give us a best of luck to you. And, you know, as soon as we hear the name of the team or whatever, I'm thinking jersey sales or something like that,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So I'll give a quick shout out. My brother plays North Quincy in the playoffs. He's on the Malden Catholic basketball team.
Oh,
wow. So,
Big
take coming up Saturday at Malden Catholic.
Are you going?
I know you guys are. I'll probably be there. I was at the last game, we'll so there. They had a heck of a crowd. So,
we will be there.
We just gave them like a good luck in our B4 thing. So we're like on opposite sides.
We got a couple.
There's
a couple North Quincy guys here.
Malden Catholic.
They're a good team. They're a good team now. Yeah. So North Quincy is. So it'll be. A
MC's
tough
been wiping though. MC's like won like by like 30 and 40 like.
But I think North Quincy will give a heck of a fight. So it'll be cool to watch that game. I'll have to root for my brother. But
when is that?
That's in Malden Catholic, I think, right?
Saturday.
It's at MC.
All right.
It's a road game. It's a road game.
Okay.
Road warriors.
We might have to have to pay in our stomachs and show a little.
EJ, thanks a lot, man. Best of luck with everything. We'll be watching.
Yep. Good luck.
Thanks, best EJ. Of luck, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
See ya.
2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram at Slight Edge Fitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.
We're back from the EJ Perry interview. Brown University quarterback clearly made his presence known in the NFL Combine and the East-West Shrine Game. Just I think great interview in general. Going to be really rooting for this kid when it gets around day three of the NFL draft, hoping he gets selected. I think he'll go. Even if he gets undrafted, I think he'll get with some team somewhere. But I think his stock is up miles from he was a couple months ago. I've been watching this kid since, you know, September, October. I got to go to a Harvard game and check it out. And I think they lost, like, I didn't mention it to him because I don't want to talk about a blowout. But I think they lost, like, 42 to, like, 14. And I was like, that's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen to lose 42 to 14. He had, like, at least four almost touchdown drives that were, like, two of them were negated by like fumbles at like the five.
Yeah,
so like that's not on him.
No, yeah, shit sucks. But
dual quarterback ran for over like 700 yards.
Oh yeah, stud. I mean, to be for like Brown University and put on a show like that. Combine, like that's incredible.
It's a really cool story as it is.
You do not expect that. Yeah, going to the combine.
We'll get into the bee's knees here of, you know, the sports world. We'll start with our local business here as the Boston Celtics in their last 32 games, 24-8. They were started 16-19. I think they're 40-27 now. That's my math. But it starts and, you know, continues, but it starts with Jason Tatum. The other night, I think he had 54 points over Brooklyn Nets, outdueling Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in a big-time showdown Sunday afternoon, 126-120 win. And then he does the same thing last night against the Charlotte Hornets. Welcome back, IT, even though I was in Charlotte there. Another big, big show off, 44 points, just letting it rip because, you know, these guys are just rallying behind him. I get Jaylen Brown's at number two, but you have Derek White who's filling in like a Marcus Smart presence. Al Horford is just does what he does best. He's Mr. Fundamental. Rob Williams is quickly, he's now a top 10 center in the league. He's sensational. I love how they cut the bench too. And I've mentioned this in other podcasts, but in recent years, Brad Stevens loved to stretch it out. You know, maybe they had more depth in other years, but, you know, they would have 10 or 11, but now it's more of a 7-8 group with Pritchard in the back end.
As it should be.
As it should be, because they have some guys who I think should even be on NBA rosters. I'm a big green teamer, obviously, when it comes to Isaiah Thomas, so I think it's sickening they never gave him a chance, because I would love some more points off the bench. But what do you think, Steele? I kind of went on a rant.
He got a standing O there, though, like even in Charlotte.
Of course he did.
Which is awesome.
He's amazing.
That was awesome.
Yeah. No, and, honestly, even – oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say Tatum, like, on Sunday, that game, like, Jason Tatum was the single best player on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
offense and defensively, like, he was the best one.
100%.
He shut down Kevin Durant on defense when they were up against each other. He shut down Kyrie Irving on defense when they were up against each other. And obviously, he scored 54 points. So, just an incredible performance. He's been doing it. I mean, the last 20 games, he's averaged 37-5.
Yeah, fuck Tony Maz. But the other day on Felger and Maz, before the Brooklyn game, might even before that. No, it was before the Memphis game. I think it was like his top five of like guys like 25 and under.
Yeah, the young guys.
And it was like Luka Doncic, Ja Morant. He put even LaMelo Ball over Jason Tatum. And I do give the guy credit even by like after the game Sunday. He's like, yeah, I was wrong. Like, why would you? I don't think LaMelo Ball as like ever has the ceiling to have the capability of what Jason Tatum put on Sunday afternoon.
No, absolutely not. No,
it was cool too because they're the best net defense in the league. Mm-hmm. You let up 120 points to one of the best offenses when fully healthy. To you know, they limited to 120 points. I think that's honestly a win if you're playing hardball there. But at the end of the day, he was the closer, and it's great to see that the Celtics finally have a guy of a finisher type. Is I can take this game over offensively because they were lacking that at the beginning of the season. He showed a lot probably around during this time of last season, but it kind of went away when I went to the postseason. I think Jaylen Brown's a big factor, not just because he's the second leading scorer on the team, but he brings a lot of presence. And I think it was a cool tidbit, too, of every time Kevin Durant was coming down the court, the Celtics were double-teaming him right away.
Yeah, mobbing him right away.
Big shout-out to Ime Udoka, too. He's really flipped the page there. He should be considered Coach of the Year. We'll see how it plays out in regular season. A lot of coaches are really up for that award coming through. But what I saw the most was I think Jaylen Brown had a couple shots down the stretch, and they were not able to double-team Jason Tatum, which ended up being the back end of Brooklyn Nets lost right there, which let them under 500.
All right. Craig, got anything to add here?
Yeah. I've been itching over here. I've been itching.
So, started interrupting.
It's all right. Hey, you guys are going on some great rants, great points there. This is why we've been upset with the Celtics. This is what we've been expecting from them all along. I knew Jason Tatum's potential was this high. I knew he had to take over the game like the way he's doing if the Celtics want to win a championship or take it far in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown has been stepping up, doing the same thing. Everyone's been playing good on defense. Same thing, blowing up the bench, having a good, strong back end.
Ball movement.
Robert Williams, great. I was going to touch on, same thing. We needed a big guy. Unless we have a big guy step up with Robert Williams, he's really matured. His games, his style, his attentive for getting rebounds, for staying under the paint. Like, just all the cylinders are firing right now, and I love watching it, so.
Yeah, I mean, Smart, Tatum, and Robert Williams are all three, like, top five defenders at their positions.
100%. Not only that, can finish and are aggressive to the ball and, like, have a presence on the court. And same thing, like, with the lockdown defense tied into that, how can you stop them?
Yeah, there is like, a defensive player of the year candidate, like, on the court at all times.
100%.
And that's awesome. It's fucking amazing.
Now, on this show, I've been giving huge praise to Grant Williams and Rob Williams on, you know, sensational seasons they've had. I didn't think Grant Williams' ceiling would even get this high, and his ceiling's not even close to there, I believe. Rob Williams, like I reiterated, their top 10 center in the league. But finally have to give him some credit after dogging him all season. Marcus Smart, you know, he is really tamed down and being like a pass-first guy. But pass-first, I don't mean in sense of afraid of shooting the ball, but knowing when the smart selective shots are, where the high percentage shots are. Just want to give him big credit. You know what he could do in the defensive side of the game. You know the tenacity of this guy's effort, his level. He's got a high energy factor for that team, which would be big for their locker room and things like that. But when you're talking about guys who are, you know, putting offensive outputs like Jason Tatum has and, you know, what Jaylen Brown is capable of, we're looking for a third guy there, like every team has, to build a championship-type formula. I don't think they have that guy, but I think if you fill that spot up, like, every night where it's not the same person every night. Like, I don't know.
Like, 18 to 20.
Yeah, Derek White comes in, throws 18. Al Horford has a 5 years ago night, has 20. I think that's where this team will excel and relying on guys like Tatum and Brown, where if they have bad nights, they're not going to win. That's not, just not going to happen because if you don't play defense and they don't score, like, everything's going to go to shit. For the ceiling of this team, I'm still saying win a playoff series, entertaining team, East is very, very deep. I don't care. I mean, you might have the Sixers or the Bucks play the Nets 2-7 in the first round.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, which is perfect.
Yeah,
but unreal. That's just saying how deep it is.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Well, one of them, like they're a very fun team to watch, and I like the players on the team. But the Bulls are complete frauds.
Frauds.
The Bulls are like 0-14 versus like the top three teams in each conference. Like the Bulls have just pissed on nobodies. Like that's Celtics in five versus the Bulls.
They'd be the ideal team.
Yeah, we would.
Good spot right now.
We would massacre the Bulls in a playoff.
I think it's us versus them if it happened right now.
So there's two frauds. So them and feed me Cleveland. Cleveland is a fraud. They've been frauds for a while now.
Feed me Philly, too.
They always will be.
Feed me Philly. Philly's always fraud.
Yeah, but you want that in the second round. That's too
even
good.
Even more pressure on them, they'll falter even more.
If you got to let it ride, if the season ended today, they'd be on the road against the Bulls. I do like that series going in the Celtics' way. The only ones, like, I think Milwaukee would be a wash. I think Milwaukee would kick the piss out of us. And then if you saw Brooklyn, I don't want to see Brooklyn in the first round.
I don't care if we do.
Like, the fan in me, I want to. The fan in me, I want to. Because that would be fucking war.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it would be awesome.
But if you think about it, I mean, Tatum.
Like Sunday was incredible.
Tatum dropped 54 points and they barely won. Yeah. That game looked like a 3-0 lead Brooklyn, and like the Celtics get gentlemen swept. That seemed like the game they would win. I had that in the back of my head the entire time I was watching that game.
Yikes! Fuck them.
That's tough. It's tough, especially when I don't know how Ben Simmons is gonna do working out with them. I see it going well, but who knows? Because all those guys are divas.
The return's tonight, isn't it?
Who cares?
No, but I want to, like, Philly is a great city to rip him apart and fuck that guy. So like, I kind of want to see.
Philly?
I think so. I think it's.
But he's not
to
playing.
Philly.
He's on the bench. He's sitting.
That's all
either
they need.
Way, yeah. They'll be in his ears.
Yeah.
Mental warfare.
Someone went to war for those seats behind that bench just to get in his ear.
Speaking of that, they were giving the Celtics fans hell for like booing Kyrie, and I couldn't be more appalled.
Who
like, just like. TV radio, even just like like sports. Oh, you're still booing him? Yeah, we're gonna boo them for the rest of our
life.
Is that one of his first times back?
Second time.
It happened
in the playoffs last year.
He kept like saying, "Hey, I'm hurt this game." He didn't want to come back for a couple of years.
No, yeah, then he played the one because there was no fans.
He's
gonna get
booed forever for what he did to Lucky. That's honestly fair.
No, and he compared
and just being a loser.
Wait, so that is his first game back with fans?
Second.
I think second.
Oh, with fans though?
When they beat us 4-1, he was there.
Oh, okay.
He's never not getting booed.
That's my point. In his after the game interview, he's just so delusional of himself, of how much of an idiot he is. He said it's like an ex-girlfriend that just keeps trying to call you back.
You stomped
and
on
you don't
Lucky's
answer.
Face.
Not even just Lucky's face. I think
he's a wife beater.
I think Brooklyn fans even understand that, like how happy we are to get rid of that piece of shit.
I know. 100%.
I get he's an unreal talent. I say this every time. Great basketball player, but he negates the fact of everything else that stands for mankind.
I loved how deafening it was that like Jason Tatum had to be like, "Yo, like everybody shut up."
Yeah,
because it was like Jaylen Brown like shooting
was
a free throw,
clinching free throws. Yeah,
like he was like, "Dude, like stop!" And everyone like, it was I think.
Well, way to take control.
Yeah,
way for Tatum. I'm happy to see it.
Leadership.
I definitely
position.
Think me hopping on the bandwagon at the All-Star break was a great big fucking factor.
What it all ties down to.
It's kind of a big factor.
I mean, fair enough.
I could turn my back on them right now and watch them slide.
Yeah, so they have a little bit of a tough stretch this week. So Detroit's worst team in the league. They can hopefully take care of business. They lost them before.
I was about to say,
Then they got Luka on Sunday, and then they got Steph on Wednesday. So those will be two tough games. Last time they played Luka killed our hearts. I mean, that was a buzzer beater. That was a great shot. And then Golden State, they usually have pretty good success against them, but they're going to start a West road trip out there. Golden State, Sacramento, Denver, and then come back.
Phoenix?
I think that's a huge... I think that's a huge thing for the standings, because I'm pretty sure the top four teams like with us, like the Bulls and them, the Bulls, Bucks, and I think they all have a West Coast road trip. And so... this could change drastically depending on what
race.
Happens.
15 games left. It should be.
I want a West Coast road trip.
Why not us?
Why can't we go?
I actually talked to Kingsley last night on a FaceTime.
Oh, there we go.
Dad's going west.
He says you're coming.
Yeah, I'm coming.
He's trying to get me to come.
Mid-May, Wiggs bachelor party, be good stuff.
Wiggs going?
Oh yeah.
Oh fuck!
Breaking news. We're on the pod. So
breaking news.
I'll talk to you after.
All right.
Moving on. I think the next news. There's a lot of like. big news that happened in all of sports this week. I think we should go to the football version of it.
Football's tight.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers signs back with the Green Bay Packers.
That's not even news.
And then what negated it was Russell Wilson being traded to the Denver Broncos for, what, 2 first-round picks? Noah Fant, Drew Locke, defensive tackle. Steele, I'll give you the forefront here. Who wins the trade and why?
Well, first off, I think if I were the Broncos, I would have tried to do whatever I could have. Like, obviously, you have to give up, like, so much shit for Russell Wilson, obviously. But I would have tried so hard to keep Noah Fant. Because he's, like, the perfect tight end for what Russell Wilson tries to do. He would have been amazing there. That would have been an amazing fit. Shout out both of those teams and Russell Wilson for cucking Aaron Rodgers on his day. That's awesome. That's my favorite part of it all.
Yeah, fuck him.
But I think you gotta give the win, at least as of right now, to the team that has a Hall of Fame-level quarterback. I mean, that's just,
No question. I think it was a good rebuilding process.
Yeah, but you gotta do it.
Seahawks. But I was saying it last year, too. I would just be watching those games with Teddy B. I'm like, Cortland Sutton, they have Jerry Jeudy. They have that new Williams guy who's like 5'9", running back, but a bet out of hell. Yeah, it sucks losing Noah Fant, but there's so many diamond dozen. It's starting to become a diamond dozen position at the tight end position now. So I feel like that's really not going to hurt them that much. And having Russell Wilson on that team, that's defense is building. I think they're truly building, not to mention – you play in probably not the best division in football.
By far.
But Mahomes, Herbert. Nice. Let's go. Showtime. Shout out to High Noon. Yeah, but I think overall the Broncos win that trade. Also wanted to say another thing on free agency. The Patriots cut Kyle Van Noy. Kyle Van Noy declined to come on this podcast. So that's karma, buddy. That's karma.
How much do you think Russell Wilson hates? Yeah, right? Yeah, now he might come on. How much do you think he hates that Khalil Mack just went to the Chargers?
A lot.
Joey Bosa sucks a lot, dude, like going up against. And like Khalil Mack on the other side, yuck.
Yeah, that could be a bad thing.
That's not fun.
No.
And then after that you get to play the Chiefs.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and then the biggest thing of it all, and people I thought had wrong takes on it, Carson Wentz traded to the Washington Commanders now for 2 third-round picks. My take on it is you had no one. Like, yeah, Taylor Heinicke, good story, whatever. Guy sucks.
I think I'd rather Heinicke than Carson
Wentz. I disagree.
I think, like, it's
if you're talking about
close,
the heart
right?
value, I
don't say it's that far. It's not far.
I think it's far, man. I think Carson Wentz is good for
Wentz
that
hasn't
team.
Hasn't done shit.
So you got a spot in your heart for Carson Wentz?
No, I don't. I don't.
What are you defending him for? Like, what? He's never done anything.
I think
good.
The caliber of a player he can be compared to the caliber player of Taylor Heinicke could be.
How long has Heinicke been in the league?
Like 2-3 years.
And
like
Wentz?
He came from the XFL. Wentz at least like 5 or 6.
Yeah. I don't know. That alone.
Wentz is a number 2 pick. He showed a lot of promise.
You think he's gonna kill it and fucking for the Commanders?
Yeah, he's a legend because Nick Foles took his job.
No, because the problem is like
he played for but this
Washington's
is the
worst situation
the type for
Washington's the type of team that like people go to die. It's like
exactly.
Cleveland, but
the Commanders now.
Terry McLaurin, good receiver
Wentz
there.
Wentz is a dead man. Right,
they're
now.
Gonna have a high draft pick. They have a great defense. That's what they have going for them.
I got to shout out Pat Foley. He randomly texts me nowadays. Patrick J. Foley.
Get it right.
He texted me an article about Wentz last night saying I was all... Did he talk about him last week in his segment?
Yeah, he was fired up.
He was like, I was all right about this guy. He's a scumbag.
See?
I don't know.
He gets it.
I didn't really read the article and get scumbag vibes from Wentz, but the article did say like the Colts were ready to like give him away. Not even give him away, but...
I'm wondering
what was it? It was like a 7th-round pick.
2 third-round picks.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but now
willing to cut and pay his money if needed.
Well, I mean, it's $28 million. They kind of made out like bandits being able to get rid of him. Yeah.
Wow.
Now I'm wondering like who are the Colts getting now? They're in the Jimmy G sweepstakes.
Yeah.
Like get Jimmy G on that team. Like that's a dangerous team.
Yeah.
You got Jonathan Taylor in the background. I mean, backfield.
They're always pretty good. Yeah.
Who is it?
They're always pretty good.
Oh, yeah,
one of the best O-lines in football as well.
He's actually a good fit.
And he's a great fit. Either there or Tampa. I think either there or Tampa. Don't bring him to Pittsburgh, please. Fuck you, Coop.
I want him back on the Pats.
Sure, why not? Actually, no. You know, the savior the Colts needs, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what they need.
Yeah, I agree, but like, we'll see.
He should go to Seattle. Give me the 12th man up there, like backing up Gardner Minshew. That would be electric.
He should go to the Commanders also, just to be like a great backup.
Yeah, what a wrecking crew. Yeah.
I actually, that's the best take of that, because then you put Carson Wentz in his fucking spot, and then it's going to be a hell of a QB battle, which we all know who's going to win that one.
Gardner Minshew.
He always wins.
Yeah, it was always Gardner.
Steele, any take on not putting J.C. Jackson on franchise tag?
I mean, the way it just happens is like they did the same stuff. Everyone was bugging out when we got rid of Stephon Gilmore and that. Had J.C. Jackson comes up, does the same thing. It's just what they do. Like, I don't know what else to say. I hope we pay him. I hope we keep him. But I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to pay him. He's going to go to some shitty team that Stephon Gilmore went to. My thing is, who's his replacement? Because are you going to draft a guy in the first round? Because Jalen Mills ain't that guy.
Jalen Mills is not that guy.
Joe Juwan Williams ain't that guy. I don't even know who else they have on the depth chart there in the cornerback position.
Yeah, no one that's going to do
it. Jason McCourty available?
Yeah, right.
Do you guys feel good about the Pats right now?
No. No, okay. So that's checking a good, in. That's just, a good, just that's, checking that's, in. It's a good conversation because, you know, the Broncos got better. Now you have, okay, so the Chiefs, the Bills... the Chiefs, the Bills, who else is there? And the AFC North there. I take Cincy.
We're on par with Cincy.
It's close. They just went to the Super Bowl.
So what?
No way.
You're the one that's like, they're not going to make it back anyway. So
Yeah, because you have Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen, who I just mentioned. So you have those three teams.
Mahomes is out.
Mahomes is not out. AFC South, I probably have... Colts are probably right on par with the Patriots. I think the Titans had a pretty good year last year. I think
that's
they're a little bit above.
The Pats. You just said the Colts are on par. They don't even have a QB right now.
Well, no. Well, if they do get Jimmy G, get Jimmy G, we don't have a defense right now. That's the difference here. There's still a lot more to be played out. But I'm saying at the end of the day, you're still looking at like four or five teams ahead of you. And at the quarterback position, you're looking at like seven teams that are probably better than you. I mean, raffle them off right now. We'll go Burrow, Allen, Mahomes.
Herbert. Russell Wilson.
That's what I mean. The Broncos are ahead of you, too. That was my point of the whole thing. And that whatever team Watson ends up going to, hopefully he doesn't stay in the AFC.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, Derek Carr, like, not like the like biggest Derek Carr supporter, but like he should not be the fourth best quarterback in the division.
Best worst like, that's quarterback in a division of all time.
Yeah, like that's nuts.
He beat Herbert. Like, yeah. That was a make or break game. Like, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert this year to perform. Because yeah, he's performed well, but if he doesn't get his team to the playoffs this year, this whole like, oh, the future, like who's the future that you would rather have? Like that debate, he's going to like get out of that debate pretty soon. Because what Joe Burrow did out of nowhere, the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl, belief.
Joe fucking Burrow. God Joe Burrow. Bless him.
So Patriots.
Joey Cartier.
I fucking love that dude.
Where are your Cartiers right now?
They're back in the shop. They're getting serviced.
Yeah, don't worry. Stay tuned.
The glasses are so nice, they got to get serviced.
Life's better through crystal lenses. Everyone knows that.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Future sponsor.
How are you feeling about the Patriots? About Tampa?
I'd love...
You're definitely not a Tampa fan anymore.
No, I am. I'm hoping they get Gardner, if I'm being honest.
That'd be sick.
That would be awesome.
I'm just letting things play out in Tampa. Right now, not much news to deliver, but I'm still on their wagon way more than New England's, I'll tell you that right now.
Gross.
Are we talking Calvin Ridley? Or we?
Yeah, Calvin Ridley. So he stepped away for mental illness, mental health issues. And then he put $1,500 on a couple bets at FanDuel. Magic, I'll give you the front here. Good move or poor move? Now suspended for all of 2022. Well, I mean, I'll throw this out. Tom Brady got four games for footballs. I think Greg Hardy's suspension got down to four for beating a woman.
Horseshit. Kareem Hunt's only was like the way eight. They do this. Well, so, I guess if it's like the Pete Rose thing. Pete Rose got banned from the game. I don't know. There was a video that came up on Twitter. Some questionable like routes he was fucking running, like literally running backwards.
Yeah.
Maybe that happened. There was one of those with Deshaun Jackson.
They were like, he's next, take him down. And there was one where he like turns around and literally like throws it at the defensive guy. And I was geeking laughing. Like, they were like, stop that man,
but
too.
I guess that's my question.
I got a hot take on this. It's not the first time he's been caught. I mean, it's not the first time he's done it. It's the first time he's gotten caught for doing it or having like a paper trail back to him on doing this. That's like the number one thing, especially with gamblers, like their recidivism and like their like retention.
What was that word?
Recidivism.
Yeah, love that.
What, you read your dictionary?
Yeah. Nice vernacular, Craig. Nice vernacular.
Methyl sweat. There you go.
But yeah, so honestly, even like him to joke about it after, did you see his tweet? He tweeted, I bet $1,500 the Broncos are going to win this year. Like, he just doesn't. He obviously clearly awesome. Doesn't give a fuck. So, I don't know. I say fuck.
But he never bet against Atlanta. That's why I think that video is garbage.
I'm just letting you know. If he's a gambler, he's betting on his own games. I don't give a fuck what.
And I think it's crazy to compare him to Pete Rose. Pete Rose was literally like the best, like, at, like, for average hitter, like
that's like Tom
time.
Brady. Like if we found out, like he bet on the Giants, like
yeah, exactly.
When we lost the Super Bowl, like that's the level of Pete Rose. Like he's a Hall of Fame, like MVP. Like yeah. Oh no,
he bet on that game. He was Tyree catch. Yeah.
Pete Rose was on some like uncut. Was on some like uncut gems level anxiety.
Yeah, freaking out.
Well, it cuts you now because he was a guy in the at least to the fans and you know. Reporters and stuff that he could have been in New England in the fall, and now that's not going to happen. There's still things, more stuff to be played out with Amari Cooper might be cut by the Cowboys. That's another name the Patriots have been talking about. That I think guy must go to New England in the fall is Bobby Wagner.
Would love that.
10-year, I think 6-time All Pro linebacker, Legion of Boom, Seattle Seahawks, cut by them. Need better at the linebacker position. I say it all the time, but Hightower, dead corpse, need to fill in. Chase Winovich sucks. Josh
Kyle Van Noy
hasn't shown me anything. Yeah. Fuck Kyle Van Noy. We need a guy like that, not just a defensive presence, but a hell of a guy in the locker room. I think we got some locker room guys over here.
Yeah, we need some energy.
You know, they should hire us.
Yeah, those vibrations can get you fucking further than anyone else. That's why Joey Burrow was always about to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I feel like he lost a little bit of his confidence. He wasn't wearing his Cartier glasses after that first appearance. I feel like that was a mistake.
Chandler Jones also
live and
free
learn,
agent.
Brother. Live and learn.
Wish he would go back to New England. Probably not going to happen. But that's sick.
Also, yeah. Like Seattle, like give us both of your fucking receivers.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Now for like nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Bag of footballs, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Oh, imagine.
That'd be so sick. And then we could finally, truly fire N'Keal Harry into the sun.
I can't wait till that happens.
The video of that guy hitting DK Metcalf when he, like, DK Metcalf, like, doesn't even move at all. Like, he gets hit full speed from a linebacker across the middle. Literally, the guy falls down and, like, is hurt. And DK Metcalf, like, was like, all right, like, next play.
Yeah,
like,
whatever. Yeah, on to the next play.
Someone put that video meme out there the other day when Russell Wilson got traded. It was just, like, DK Metcalf going into the Seahawks, like, headquarters now. And it's like, just that huge guy, like, going into, like, the coffee shop. His, like, arms are like this. All you can see is, like, his back. And it's like, that's probably DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
That was wild. Yeah, NFL talk over, unless anyone else got anything else.
Good action. Hopefully.
Fuck Roger Goodell.
Keep the action coming, NFL. It's been fun.
Baseball's back. Wander Franco going to be MVP, but the Sox still going to beat him.
Freddie Freeman's still not a Yankee as of right now.
Was there ever a doubt baseball is coming back? I know Frank the Tank put the odds.
Yeah, like not really. There was never a doubt of like it like not coming back this year.
Yeah. Any updates? No updates of like signings or anything. They said the free agency was going to start at 6 p.m., but that might be a lie.
No, it'll like by like midnight or something, because like they have to make it look like we didn't just do this while it was all locked out. Like
NCAA March Madness has been good this week. Well, actually, conference championships, except for me, lost 3 straight noontime games, including me and Myers had a tough one, lost by 1 point for the over of the Butler Providence game. I think they missed 19 free throws. Just wanted to fucking end it right there.
That's tough.
Yeah. Same thing. Are they betting on that? Come on. 19. They were free. That's why they call them.
Yeah, you should ask for an investation into Providence Athletics.
Just like us.
They were horrible.
They're D1 athletes, and they should hit their fucking three throws.
They get the credit of, you know, getting hype. I don't have any hype.
Or at least give me the word on what the bet is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me good in. Let me
by,
in.
Good job by BC pulling out an upset yesterday. Yeah,
they got buzzer beated on today against the U.
That was unreal. They tried to hit a buzzer beater and like they literally airballed it, and Miami just took it down to the other side and hit a layup with like no time
That's
left.
That's terrible.
It was absolutely devastating. It was awesome. Fuck BC. All about the U, baby.
That's fair. That's you are a U guy.
Wait, so BC didn't win?
BC
won today. They won yesterday.
Big upset.
I was like, Magic, what?
We were here noontime. Yeah.
I think next
week we got it. If anyone is off like those Thursday, Friday, or like any point of the day, we just got to be rotating people in here and just watching games live stream. Maybe.
Next Thursday is
St. Patrick's Day.
That's what I mean.
St. Patrick's Day.
But is it a March Madness as well?
It's everything.
Everything. Wear green and win money.
I might have to work from here. I might have to work from here for my day job.
We might all have to.
I don't know.
We all might have to.
Yeah, sounds like we must.
We will now get into the Patrick J. Foley. Why am I missing it? What's the
law offices? The law.
Laying down the law. Law offices of Patrick J. Foley. We were undefeated last week, except for him. He choked on his high school basketball game, so he now owes money to the charity of the choice, which was the Quincy Special Needs Baseball League.
Yes.
So great stuff we're trying to do for there. We will give them like some money because I don't plan on losing.
Yeah.
I'll start with mine because we like to do Saturdays, so when I update the video there that it all hasn't been happened yet. I think Anton gave us his pick from a game that happened like yesterday, so like screw him.
St. John's, he's got St. John's.
Yeah, they might be eliminated right now. That's my point.
That's what sucks about this week is like I'm trying to do college basketball and like I just can't.
I've done the Bruins the last 2 weeks. I'll switch it up because that was too easy. There's a big NBA game Saturday night as the Milwaukee Bucks defending world champions go on the road against the Golden State Warriors. I think the Warriors will be favored by a little bit, but I like the Milwaukee Bucks upset time. Give me Giannis. Give me Middleton. Give me all the boys. Milwaukee's buzzing. They're coming to come into San Fran, Oakland, wherever they play now, and upset the Warriors there. Yeah, I got the Milwaukee. Anyone next?
I got the Oilers at home. They're playing the Lightning. We're going dogs.
Ooh, dogs.
McDavid and Draisaitl, it's their time to be on fire. Biggest game of the year for them. They've been a little shaky, but this is a game where like you're playing the two-time reigning champs. This is it. Show you're there. And they're going to be there.
Show it.
Yeah. Show you the two best players on earth.
Hugo, I'll wrap it up.
And this weekend, even though the last time we played it was a little bit sloppy, to start the Western Tour, Celtics versus Mavericks. Celtics have taken down
Sunday.
Sunday game, so... A little matinee game, I think 1 o'clock, I believe.
Oh yeah, boom! Get the drinks flowing.
Yep. To probably end the sweep again, like we do.
Are you just picking them out right to win? Yeah.
Yeah, just straight up.
All right.
You got.
I got Moutinho.
Yep.
So we could segue into him, but lay down the law, Moutinho.
Chris Moutinho.
Chris Moutinho put on a hell of an effort in his first fight.
Yeah.
Got the bag kicked out of him, but
I mean he's versatile championship level.
He's the
contender.
Favorite in this one. I think he's gonna come
up. So he's
up
a minus 140 against Guido Chinetti, which sounds Italian or Argentinian. Either way. First fight since the Sean O'Malley one fill in. And there's a big we'll give you the tidbit. So if he wins, he comes on the show next week.
So you need him.
So we need him for him to win.
Yeah, so let's send some good energy, put those
positive vibes
on him.
Fights at 4 in the afternoon on Saturday, so
beautiful.
Really get a rip.
Perfect.
I think it's the second fight of the prelim starting at
yeah,
4
Yeah, he's an early prelim guy,
so
which
make sure you check him
you
out.
Know, build his way up. He's a slight favorite, which I love that.
Does he still have the green hair? He probably changed it up. He probably changed it up.
It's in his profile picture here.
He's keeping the green.
He's definitely going to be something funky, but purple is – I don't think purple's out of the fucking realm of possibility.
Should we do it like the Gatorade flavors of the Super Bowl? Should we like –
that on 100%.
Let's go.
I'm betting purple. 100%.
I mean, I'm going to go green.
Okay.
That's easy.
You got purple?
Wow, what's green? Like minus 10,000?
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Literally. Yeah, N-A.
Sounds like my Bruins pick last
yeah,
week.
Jesus yeah. Christ. Have some balls.
Still, who do you got? Magic's got purple. Naz has green.
Give me orange.
Orange?
I like that.
Good call.
St. Patty's Day.
How about like
yeah, St. Patrick's
Day? How about like Goku yellow?
I was thinking that like on some Portuguese.
He might took the words right out of his mouth.
He's Portuguese. Red's in the flag.
I'm going pink.
I like it. I like it.
Pink's a good one. What
all good color picks. Honestly, all pretty. I can see any of them.
October for breast cancer.
Okay, I was like, which one's that? Because like, if it was March or something, you would have nailed it.
Well, if it's March, I would have guessed green because of St. Patrick's Day.
It has to be green.
Also Portuguese, so I don't know if he.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit about that.
Everyone's Irish. I care about St. Patrick. I care about drinking.
Everyone's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Let's get over it.
What do we got next? Are we getting into our live show review?
Yeah, live show review. We'll do that, and then I kind of. I'll spitball some movie, TV shows that kind of ripped over the weekend. Pretty good stuff. But yeah, overall, the live show, great showing. Appreciate everyone showing up. It was a learning experience for everyone. Like, we got our interviews out of the way. We're kind of just having conversation while people were talking. Big shout out to the Crack Irish Pub for letting it rip for us. And yeah, what do you guys think?
Absolutely electric. Had a wonderful time. It was great.
Thanks for everyone coming.
Thank you so much, all of you.
We absolutely went wild. Place was electric. I think we were probably getting some sound ordinance calls, but hey, screw it.
Yeah, biggest Friday night that place has had in fucking
That's all
ages.
That matters.
But because of the big turnout, we have some events planned in the future for another one already. We're starting to get cracking on that.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
That'll be coming
Imagine
in the future.
Imagine if no one showed. Was anyone a little nervous? I was nervous for like the first 10 minutes when it was like 10 people there. I was like,
no.
I didn't know that would occur, but like
that would
like,
have been
I
better.
Knew,
you would have been able
I'm
to
I'm not getting that. Cocky like, oh, I knew they're gonna show up, but like no, I had a strong confidence that they were gonna show.
Believe
it was good.
Hell
was
of a night, hell of an after up. Party.
Yeah, you guys ended up here till like 5 AM, right? And then I had a podcast 12:30 the next day. So I mean, we'll tell them what happened.
Grind doesn't stop.
Yeah,
grind doesn't stop.
Credit to Justin. I didn't know it was a noontime podcast.
At 12:30. Yeah.
Wow.
It was tough.
Good. Magic Mike was in rare form.
Went well. Yeah, good stuff.
Rare form is pretty normal form.
Common
champs
form.
Here.
Common
champs here. Champs here. Both champs were here.
So I was able to over the last couple of days. I've been watching that new TV show, Pam and Tommy. With Tommy Lee. Pamela Anderson. Great stuff. Can we just like elephant in the room, like spoilers here? Tommy Lee just talking to his penis for like 8 minutes.
It seems like something he would do.
That was wild.
Rockstar shit.
Yeah, it's a rockstar. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I've done it.
We've all done it.
He was an 80s rock star, dude. You just snorted coke, did heroin, and talked
like,
to your dick.
And then like Seth Rogen was just like played the guy who just like
Stole the tape
and all. What a malicious thing. That was honestly like, have you guys seen it? I don't want to fucking ruin it.
I haven't seen the last two, but
I haven't seen the last two either. So we're on the same wavelength.
It is very good.
Honestly, when that was going down originally, it was all kind of fishy in the first place. I feel like they just want to release that. I feel like,
oh, that guy, yeah, that got leaked out 100%. It's Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson.
Are you kidding me?
Of course they released that on purpose.
Pam is still pissed off.
Hey, just like in Euphoria, you didn't know you were recording that shit?
Yeah, like, come on, dude.
What scene's that from?
Tommy Lee.
When the dad's banging Rue and he's like, you were recording that? He's like, I didn't know. He's like, you didn't know you were recording?
What is it? The Pam Anderson was so pissed, I guess, about the TV show that they're coming out with like a Netflix special of her like talking about it.
Oh yeah, she's so pissed. That's why she's making a Netflix documentary because people saw her.
Like, come on, guys. Yeah, let's be real. Come on, guys.
Track record. I like.
Oh my god, I'm so mad at Leaf. Let me take this check.
Their downloads must be going through the roof. Yeah. I don't know if they still make money off that shit, but
you know she's been divorced like 5 times. Like,
that's Pamela Anderson.
She looks like a bag of shit nowadays.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, did she bring the game back.
When a girl texts you,
I highly
recommend that sex scene. Still the best one I've seen.
That's like when a girl texts you at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. Sorry, I fell asleep. Come on, Don't give me that simp bullshit.
The other thing I saw the other night, and I had no expectation for it. Watched American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. Was not bad.
That guy's
was not bad.
I'm a huge fan of.
It's
Kurt
a
Warner.
Tremendous. It's a really good story.
He grinded as fuck.
That might have had the worst trailer I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, It was a really good story, and don't get me wrong, it wasn't like. It was an average movie, but the story was monumental.
Kurt Warner's story is awesome.
Monumental.
Awe-inspiring. Maybe
I gotta look up his story.
Dude, Kurt Warner,
can you give me like a 10-second synopsis?
He was
monumental.
So
he was the underdog.
So he, in high school, like, never got an opportunity, played for, like, you and I as a walk-on, and then no one even took him on, and then ended up finding his wife in college. And then, long story short, mad shit happened. Like, his wife's parents, like, died in a hurricane, fucking couldn't get a spot in the NFL, went undrafted, had a one-day affair, got cut in one day, played in the Arena Football League for 2 years, gets picked up by the Rams the first day of the preseason, the first preseason game of the year. Trent Green, like, tears his ACL. Kurt Warner goes in. The rest is history. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. It showed
unbelievable.
Super Bowl appearances. Obviously, we took him down in our first Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he won his first one. That's all that counts.
Yeah, exactly.
So almost brought the Cardinals to a Super Bowl title.
He essentially, like, kind of started Tom Brady's legacy from losing that game in the first
one. Oh, yeah.
Like, he said
it's still
torch,
scarred from it.
I mean?
And another cool thing, too, when he got cut by the Packers after being undrafted, he worked at a grocery store for a year till he fucking picked up Arena Football League.
Is it a documentary or
it's a movie.
Yeah, it's like the dude from like Shazam. It's like the guy. Kurt Warner.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, the acting and stuff is average. Is average, but the story
No. Fuck. That'd be sick.
Because I didn't know about the hurricane part, and that was fucking wild to me. I was like, holy
shit. That's pretty crazy.
That was nuts. We'll end on there.
I'm glad you didn't go 0-2 in football documentary type movies.
Yeah. Also, go see the Batman. Sick movie.
Haven't seen
that
it,
movie.
Yeah.
Was awesome.
Haven't seen
great
it.
Great stuff.
And
no spoilers.
No, nothing. But go watch it.
Hey,
unreal.
Next week, we're giving you a chance. 1 week from now, we're gonna talk about it next episode.
Yeah, that's
I'm gonna
fact.
Watch it. So
everybody see it.
Go
now.
Watch it.
And shout out Peaky Blinders. It's coming soon.
Soon enough.
Quick high school shout out. I have to do it.
Okay.
Orla Gormley, last week, North Quincy High broke the all-time Quincy record, 56 points in one game. That's worth a shout-out.
Wow.
Great stuff.
Congratulations.
Great stuff.
If you want to come on Stealing Ass Podcast, hit us up.
Did the girls or boys basketball team have a sick finish? Because I saw someone like Snapchat and like North fans storming the court.
The boys won at the end. The girls dominated.
Was it like a big game or something?
Sweet 16. So now they're both in Elite Eight Saturday night.
States?
State. So they made it. Now it's like a statewide tournament instead of sectional. Nothing. Dummy with high school stuff since I'm a high school guy. But Elite Eight. I think they're both playing Saturday. Girls have a better chance at advancing than guys. That's just because that one girl.
Sneak preview? They might be.
Oh, yeah, a little sneak preview. We'll have a talk with a former bartender. So I won't explain the relationship over there, but we should get them. Folks, want to thank you for tuning in, as well as DJ Perry for coming on the pod. Really hoping NFL draft works out for you. Also, big shout out to Slat Edge for this performance in the law offices of Pack, Jay Foley, for making this all possible. Anything else, guys?
Shout out to you guys.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Shout out to
thanks
you guys.
For coming last week. Thanks for coming last week.
Thanks for coming every week.
Yep.
Every
week.
Love that.
Sorry. I'm jacked up.
Yeah, this microphone's about to go flying.
That's all right, folks. That's all from Dylan Naz. Be safe out there.
Yeah.
Let's ride.
Peace.